Blog Talk Radio. Good evening. This is Kathy Holloway Hill, and from my co-host, Mr. Tony Lamont, and myself, we wish you and your family a happy holiday season. We are currently off for the holidays, but we invite you to take part in our extended holiday emotional bailout bonus offer, especially designed for you and your new life in 2010. Please visit www.emotionalbailout.com for details and how you can retrieve your special bonus package worth over $4,500 in free gifts with your purchase of Emotional Bailout. This is a fabulous offer, and it will move your life from ordinary to extraordinary, starting off your new year. Now please stay tuned for the best of our Emotional Bailout guests with empowerment tips and topics so that you can be prepared to start your life over again in 2010. Stay tuned, and happy holidays to you.
You ready to live your life by design in 2009? Well, then sit back, relax, and enjoy an empowering conversation to advance and enhance your life. And now, your host, Ms. Kathy Holloway Hill and Mr. Tony Lamont.
Good evening, loyal listeners. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we are so excited that you decided to join us for the next 60 minutes on the Living by Design show. And we are in the Review, Renew, and Reclaim Your Life series. And we have had a wonderful time with this series. It's been so much fun. It has been so empowering. And we have received so many email notes, compliments, comments, questions, just a little bit of everything about this series. So I am so excited to be able to bring you this information and bring these outstanding guests to you to help you with your post-recession comeback plan. And I get emails constantly, Tony, from people asking about the series and how much longer is it going to go, and they heard about it from someone else, word of mouth. Word of mouth is an excellent way to promote something. And all of the guests in the 12-week period are part of my book campaign. We will offer free bonus prizes to every single book buyer that purchases Emotional Bailout. Emotional Bailout is my book that just came out this past July, and it has everything you need to help you with your post-recession comeback plan, and everything that the book does not have, my guests will have. So we are all together teaming up to promise and commit to you that your life is important to us, and your career and your objectives and your goals are important to us, and we want to help you accomplish that. So that's what the 12-week series is about, and we want you to join us each week as I showcase each one of my guests and give them an opportunity to talk about their areas of expertise and things that they've done and books that they have and their resources, because you are going to have an opportunity to have all of this information at your disposal. And these gifts, they are valued somewhere in the neighborhood of $3,500. So you're going to be getting some fabulous resources to help you with your new plan. If you didn't live by design in 2009, then you can do it again in 2010.
That sounds so good. That's a nice slogan.
Wasn't that cute?
That was.
That's what we're going to do, Tony.
That's good.
Yep, that's what we're going to do. So with that, Mr. Tony Lamont, so I guess I should ask you, how are you doing this evening?
I'm blessed. I'm good. Recuperating from a little operation earlier this week, but nothing major. It was outpatient procedure, but I am doing good.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I am so glad you're doing okay. I mean, it's nothing serious, I hope.
No, nothing at all.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, we will keep you in our prayers. I'm sure you'll
do
fine. Thank
you very much.
Because I know you believe in a higher power, so I'm sure you will be just fine.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest. Dr. Judith Briles is our first guest, and she is an extraordinary individual. She's known as a catalyst for change, and I love that, and believes that every pitfall experience leads to an opportunity and greater success. And Dr. Judith has been on so many television shows, I don't even want to begin to start naming them. I mean, if you name one, she's been on it. Good Morning America, NBC, CNN, Oprah, name it, she's been there. So she is definitely a woman that has been around. She knows her stuff. She's an expert in her field. And I am going to open her microphone and bring Dr. Judith Briles on the line. Dr. Judith, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How about you?
I'm terrific. I am actually terrific today. I'm home. I'm off the road for a few days before I hit it again, so things are good.
Excellent. So happy to hear that. Well, Tony and I are so glad that you're joining us, and our listeners are even more happy than we are that you're joining us. And we have, I guess you heard me do our introduction. You know, you're one of our partners in our 12-week series and in our campaign. And I'm so excited about that. So I'm going to let you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do, your business. And I know you have written a ton of books.
I have. Well, actually, I've written 26. I'm working on number 27, which is going to be called Show Me About Publishing. And I've got multiple hats I wear. I always tell people I'm one of the members of the OBC Club, the Old Broads Club. We have been out here for a while. And my background is actually financial, so that ties in with part of your theme because it's been turbulent times in the money area. And so we're going to talk a little bit this evening about Money Smarts for Turbulent Times, which is a new book this year. And so I do workshops there, but I also have a strong background in behaviorals, and I work a lot in the healthcare field and speak. I was just in Missouri yesterday, and I'll be in North Carolina on Monday through Wednesday, and then I come home for a couple of days, and then I am in 5 cities in Alaska over a two-week period talking to various hospitals because I have a book called Stabotage, How to Deal with the Pit Bull, Skunk, Snake, Scorpion, Slugs, and Slugs in the Healthcare Workplace. In other words, the pit bulls with lipstick. So I do that, but that's one passion. My other passion is really all about publishing, and I know a lot about it. I do consulting one-on-one with people to show them how to do it the right way. I am so tired of people being sucked in and seduced by what I call the publishing mafia, with people who are going to show them how to publish, and they end up just sucking huge amounts of money, and they end up with a very mediocre product and don't know what in the heck to do. So I teach workshops and do consulting in that area, and I've been president of a couple of associations that really are all about the publishing world. So I know a lot there, and of the 26 books, 18 I have published with the regular traditional markets, which is like a Simon & Schuster, and the last 8 I have published with my own imprint, and I created my own publishing house in 2000. So that kind of sums it up, and then I'm based out of Colorado.
Now, I know Simon & Schuster is definitely one of the big boys, so I am very, very proud of the fact that you, and see, that's what I like, Dr. Judith, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring you into my team, because you get it, and I know you get it, and you just talked about multiple passions that you have. Some people don't even know one of their passions,
and you
know several, and that's great, and publishing is a huge area. It's a huge area, because if you don't get picked up by one of the big boys, which most people won't, you're right. You will get sucked in.
Well, and you know, my attitude is, who cares if you do? I mean, there's a whole thing that we get into the publishing area, and we show, you know, why would you want to consider to independent publish? And there's 3 ways to go in the publish. Actually, there's multiple ways, though, but the major areas are going to be the traditional New York type of publish. And a lot of people feel that that's the only way you can go. You have to go that way, and those are publishing snobs. And then you've got the people who do the self-publishing, where you have a short run, or you have called print on demand, e-books. Those would all be in the self-publishing area. And then you've got the small press or the indies, where you have, and that's where I fit in. That we're really into creating a quality book. I'll take my books and show them to anybody, and you will not be able to tell whether it's a New York-based house. In fact, probably they'll probably look better in the quality of the cover work, the designers, what we do, the layout, and all that. So I like to show people how to do that, and the kind of the tricks of the trade. And when you realize that the average book, whether it's a nonfiction book, sells with the big boys, the average book sells 7,500 copies, and the average fiction is 3,500 copies. And yet, if you sell this average of 7,500 copies with the big boys, you know, you're going to make maybe $12,000. It's not very much money for waiting so long to get out there. Well, if I can show you how to sell your books on your own, creating your own platform, that same $7,500, you know, can create $40,000 to you. So which way do you want to go?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally 110% agree with you.
So
now, I am so glad you let my listeners know that, because keep that in the back of your minds. Dr. Judith is launching that area of her very successful business. So that's something that is I'm sure going to be very valuable for many listeners as we go forward.
Oh,
but
Kathy, it is launched. There's a website called The Book Shepherd, thebookshepherd.com, where
the
we
Book
do
Shepherd?
Thebookshepherd.com.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about money.
Absolutely. Let's talk about. So I like that title, Money Smarts for Turbulent Times, because Lord knows we are in turbulent times.
Yep, they are turbulent, and one of the things is I do a local spot on one of the television stations where I come in and do kind of, you know, my two bits about what's going on. And back in November of 07, I said to the TV audience, I said, you know, I'm not liking the way things are looking. If you need your money in the next couple of years, you'd probably be smart to go ahead and lock in whatever gains you have, move into a cash environment. If you got some losses, go ahead and sell them and let Uncle Sam help you pay for part of that loss, what you declared on your taxes, and just sit with cash. In January of last year, you know, I got in, or 2008, I said this. In January, November and January of 2008, I said, well, you know what I said a couple of months ago? Things are not looking good. If I were you, I think I would get out. So I know it was 2007, 2008. Anyway, whatever this fiasco that we just went through, we were really on the market on it to move on out of it. And then you see, you know, the market has performed overall fairly well since everything went to hell in the handbasket. And so people now are getting lured back in. And to me, the caution lights are still out there. You better be careful. If you need your money in the next 3 to 5 years, you probably shouldn't be in the stock market right now.
Oh, really? Okay. That's very interesting to know. And can you elaborate on that a little bit? So you're saying there are really not any stocks that are for sure that are winners.
So,
I mean,
even
the blue chip stocks are questionable.
Oh my gosh, the blue chips became red chips. Your companies go out of business. Things have evolved significantly. I mean, you have these huge, huge companies that questionable activity. And one of the things I love about capitalism is that people have the ability to make money. One of the things that is not so good about capitalism is the greed factor comes into play. And there are people that do things out of greed and larceny that unfortunately dominoes and affects us all. So it's one of the tips I want to give to all our listeners here is it's really smart that if you are in the market, are contemplating stepping in the market, why are you doing that? Okay, and most people say, well, there's two things. One, I want my money to grow, all right? Or two, I want to purchase something that will create a dividend or an interest rate that will come back to me, and that sounds fine and dandy. And so then what you're going to do is, how are we going to do that? Well, if you're going to purchase a stock and your objective is growth, what do we want it to grow to? Let's say my stock cost me $10 a share. And let's say I bought 100 shares. Ones and O's are always easy to multiply. And so I bought my $10 a share, and my objective is that I would like it to double in value, i.e. go to $20 a share, and I want that to go 5 years from now. I want to see that happen. So that tells me, number one, okay, we're into some aggressive growth, because you're talking about an average of 20% a year. That's aggressive growth. So, and the fact is, it could happen in a year. I mean, stocks can do that. So let's say you buy it at 10 bucks a share. My goal is that it's going to go, I want it to go to 20, and it happens to do it in a year. That means a trigger, and a trigger means that I have to now reassess it. And I would ask myself a couple of questions. One, if I still like the company, I like the growth potential, I like what's going on, some exciting things are going on, and I think there's more potential, you stay with it, and you increase now your new objective. So maybe now it's going to be $30 a share, but you increase that new objective. If the second thing is, well, I like the company. I'm not so sure about how much more it will grow, but I'm still real kind of happy with it. So what you could do then is that I would recommend that you sell half of it. You just go ahead and sell half of it and proudly pay the capital gains tax and let the other half ride. And then with what you sold, then you go find something else. If the answer is, no way, Jose, would I put another dime in this company, hey, it's over. Sell it. Gladly take your profit, pay the tax on it, and go find something else. So that's on the upside, Kathy, the way we go. But here's what most people rarely do. What happens if you have a downside? So at the same time, and my method is that not only do you set an objective on the upside, we need to set a floor objective on the downside. So how low will you let this baby go, drop in value, before you declare, you know what, this ain't working, this is
right.
Over. And that's where people fail, because what happens is our rationalization gets into play, and we start saying, well, you know, it's a good company. The market's just overall bad, and then it'll come back eventually. So it keeps dropping, and eventually we're down into the toilet in some cases. So what you have to do is set a floor, and let's say that I've decided if it drops more than 30%, I'm out. It's over. The divorce is in play. And so what you would do is you would set at the same, as soon as you buy your stock, you would immediately put in a sell order that says, okay, 30% of 10 is what? All right, is 70, correct? 7.
Mm-hmm.
So I would put in a sell order, and this is called a stop order. I would put in a stop order to sell it at $7 a share. Good till canceled. So my broker would keep that, or my online broker, whoever I dealt with, it would just kind of hang out there. It would never be executed until it kissed 7. So if you've got a falling on its face market and it keeps going through, you're out. You've taken a 30% loss. And if it goes to 3, you're going to feel like you're pretty hot, that you had that vision to stop it. And when most people don't do that. Now, who would have thought that General Motors would have gone in the tank? Who of all these people who bought this blue chip stock that was the best of the best, that paid this humongous dividend and did all these things, and basically their portfolios are worth, you know, pennies if they had had a lot of the automotive stocks, which were blue chips in their time. And so the analogy here is, and for all of our listeners to keep in mind, is, you know, you can't stick something in the drawer and forget about it, which is what's common when people buy stocks. Okay, well, it'll eventually come back. You can't stick them in the drawer and forget about them, because today's blue chips can become tomorrow's red chips, and you just have to keep that in mind.
And Dr. Judith, I wanted to ask you this, because I'm glad you said it that way, because one thing I know that a lot of people, they do trust their brokers, and they listen to what their brokers say, but in many instances, they kind of let it ride because these are supposed to be the folks that have the know-how. What ownership should you have in making those choices when it comes to getting it done?
Tony, total. I think you cannot defer the responsibility and accountability over to another party. You need to be involved in it, because people I have talked to, especially this past year, their broker kept saying, well, don't worry, it'll eventually come back, it'll eventually come back. You know, if you have a portfolio with $100,000 and it's dropped 60%, it's $40,000 now. And then, will the markets come up 50% over the last year? Let's say in your stock, okay, so 50% of 40,000 is 20. That means we're now at 60. We're still down 40%. So you need to be smart. You need to be savvy. You need to be involved. When I was a stockbroker, I was E.F. Hutton's first stockbroker on the West Coast a gazillion years ago. And my manager used to come and hear me speak, because my very first book actually was called The Woman's Guide to Financial Savvy. And he would come hear me speak, and when I would say, liken brokers, stock brokers, to car salesmen with three-piece suits, you know, he would just cringe. But the fact is that I believe that with just a little bit of work, you can be as smart as 98% of any financial advisor. So, you know, in the Money Smarts for Turbulent Times, I kind of laid it out how to master your financials in 30 days. There's a variety of things that you do, and some of the things will only take you 5 minutes, and some of the things could take you a couple hours. But it's like the boot camp course of getting your act together money-wise. And you go through those 30 days, let me tell you, you're going to be a lot smarter in the way you're going to evaluate things and you'll look at things. And there are basics. There are always basics. And I don't care if our listeners come from Portland, Oregon or Portland, Maine. There are basics. And when people violate the basics, they go for the gold, so to speak. I mean, you know, everyone and their uncle is talking about gold. Well, I think that sometimes you need to think contrarian a little bit, that because everyone else is doing it, maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. All right, great.
And, you know, Dr. Judith, I mean, Tony, I'm glad you made that comment, because I like to compare stockbrokers with doctors. There are some people that I know, they will go to the doctor because they have a problem or ache or a pain or something's bothering them, and they will listen to everything the doctor tells them, and that's it. They don't take their health into their own hands. They don't take responsibility for their health. Well, my doctor told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. They don't try to look up their condition. They don't try to look up the medication the doctor gives them. They just take it. And then they wonder why they have all these other side effects and all these other things start breaking. Well, because you didn't look up the medication to know what it is you're putting inside your body. Well, the same holds true for stockbrokers. I mean, it's your money.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And let's give our listeners a couple of tips to look at. When you're evaluating someone to advise you, when you look at the laundry list of people who are in the financial realm, so we're thinking bankers, and I suspect that I openly say that I used to have a lot of respect for bankers. I have basically zero respect for the banking institutions now, zero respect for what they're doing.
Yes.
The what I call literally the rape of the consumer with these credit card rates and these overdraw fees and all that. It just, you know, I'll get me going on that bandwagon. But so you have that. You've got accountants, you've got lawyers, you've got financial planners, you've got stockbrokers, you've got registered investment advisors, you've got real estate people, you've got insurance people, you've got a variety of people that you're going to be working with. Rule number one, you never work with anyone with any field that you're trying to get professional advice from, whether it's real estate, whether it's law, whether it's stocks, etc., unless they have been doing that for a minimum of 5 years. A minimum of 5 years. And why do we say five? Because when you come to the things, whether it was insurance and real estate and stockbrokers would be in this area, that the people who go in and explore these as career opportunities, 80% of them will die the first year. 80% will die. Of the 20% that survive, half of them will drop out the next year. So there's a reason why they survive. So if your nephew Huey says, oh, you know, and Kathy, guess what? I'm going to become a stockbroker. Wish him well, but don't give him a dime of your money.
Mm-hmm.
Let them learn, make their mistakes on other people's money. So number one, 5 years. Number two, you do want to get references from people who are like you, that they've worked with for a minimum of 3 years. not brand new, but a minimum. They've been together. There's been a longer-term relationship. They've had some ups and downs, a minimum of 3 years, and you talk to them. Ask this question with a financial area. How is your portfolio doing?
That's right. Can I see it?
I want to see it. You know, have you had any gains or losses? When I had my own investment company, and I was a stockbroker, and I made recommendations, my clients knew I was buying the same stuff. I was recommending the same stuff. I was with them. There was no surprises, no surprises. Ask them if they've ever made any mistakes. And if they tell you they haven't, they're lying. Everybody in this business makes mistakes. Everybody has things that they wish they had never heard of, never touched.
If you don't make mistakes, you don't learn.
That's right. You know, but hopefully we learn from them. You know, we learn from them and we grow from them and we take that. But so what kind of mistakes? Ask the question, are there any complaints against you? Now, you know, we are a litigious society. People like to sue. I'm sure that there's people have their pre-typed letters to the SEC that they've been shafted in their purses and their wallets. But I just ask, have you had any complaints? Because someone has had a complaint filed against them, to me, does not mean that they're a bad person. People sue for the doggondest things. Find out about it. And let me give you an example. Years ago, I remember getting a letter. My own company, I got a letter from an attorney. Never heard of this person in my life. Never heard of the person that he had identified in the letter that he was asking information on. So I sent back, you know, wrote on his letter, sent it back. I said, you obviously have the wrong person. I don't know who this is. No one in my firm knows who this is. I got a lawsuit on it. And it turns out that this person that he represented was a friend of someone who had heard me talking about a concept at a program that they decided to go out and contact other people. It was, you know, one of these options you can look at. They contacted somebody I had never heard of, never had come in contact with me, and they gave them $10,000, and it failed. I got sued for that.
Wow.
And my insurance company paid it because they said it wasn't worth their time. I was incensed. I never heard of these people. I never came in. I didn't have the opportunity to evaluate whether they were qualified to take that kind of risk. You know, none of that. So just because someone gets sued doesn't mean that they are a bad apple. That's just my point here.
That's true.
You have to be careful there. And look into it. But so you check out, are there any complaints? And get you know what? You can check this stuff out online. You can go in to the SEC and the NASD, and you can check out what kind of complaints, if there are. So on the investment side, and then just, you know, I know we only have a few minutes, don't we? Are we close to our time here? I never know how much time.
Yeah, and I wanted to just get one quick question in before we have to move on. But you mentioned, you know, to keep your eye on your stocks, and it's not something you put in the drawer and put away, and I 100% agree with that because I've gotten bitten really badly, but when you realize that you have to sell your stocks and then you do, you know, go through the process of selling your stocks, what should you do with those proceeds?
Well, I would put them in a money market fund until you know where you're going to go. Well, so you just have that make it an automatic with whatever brokerage facility that you're going through.
Okay, I was hoping you'd say that, but I just wanted to get your opinion and your thoughts because
I have
that question a lot. I tell my clients and my radio listeners, I'm not a financial expert. That's why I bring financial experts on my team because I'm not a financial expert, so I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, no, that's where you go until you evaluate, you know, what's up next. But a lot of people, then you know, they get so stuck with, well, I'm going to have to pay taxes on the gain. Well, thank your stars that you have that problem.
You know, who has that problem?
Yeah, well,
who's hitting gains?
Yeah, well, actually, I have to tell you what I did. I was totally out of the market in November of 2007, and then as I was watching, I went and bought 1,000 shares of Ford stock when it was down to $1.50 a share.
Wow.
That was a fun thing. But Ford wasn't taking any money. Ford was stronger financially. And, you know, you start evaluating those things. And that's when you use smarts. That's when you use your common sense. So when you're evaluating opportunities for stocks or any type of investment, you know, you use your eyes and ears, do your homework. The internet can help you a lot. my goodness, if we had it 20 years ago when I was actively, you know, advising clients in stocks and bonds, that would have been just a godsend. It would just would have been a godsend. So you just want to keep that in mind. And I truly think that people can do a good job and they can be just really smart in that and take advantage of a variety of areas and just, you know, make huge amounts of money and not be greedy in the process, you know, be like the tortoise and the hare, slow and steady. So one of the things, and as we exit here, just two things, is that in you're looking in your investments, you know, you want to invest forward, don't invest backward. A lot of times people who are promoting, who are trying to get you to put your money into the XYZ mutual fund or whatever it is, will say, well, you know, during, you know, last year it did this and this and this, so it was, the best of the worst type thing, because no one did, only a few companies did actually anything worth their while. Most lost their shirt. You can't base it on last year. What's management doing this year? What's the portfolio look like this year? What kind of stocks are in it this year? Not last year. Forget last year. For our mutual fund listeners, if there has been significant changes in their portfolio management, that usually means that there could be some problems, so be careful there. You want to look at that. And then last but not least, let me make something about credit cards. Those of you who are listening in who do have a balance, if you have not done this by now, I want you, when you're done listening to Kathy's show, to get out your credit cards and call the 800 number on the back and say something like this: I'm getting continued offers to open up accounts with other companies and transfer my balances at really a lower interest rate. What will you drop mine to keep me there with you? And so work on those kind of things.
That's fabulous advice. You are 100% right on with that one, because credit card debt can be one of the biggest killers of your finance.
Yep, it is. It is.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Judith. You have really been wonderful. You have given us a wealth of knowledge about finances. Dr. Judith is part of our team. She's on our joint venture book campaign, and she will be with us throughout this entire 12-week period. She will be offering a bonus gift, so please stay tuned. So,
great. But we want them to go buy the book. Order it. Amazon's got
absolutely.
It. It's called
Money Smarts. We want you to go to the website. Dr. Judith's information will be on my website. I'm going to have all of her contact information there, her link to her site, everything she's doing, she's working on, her new book that's going to be coming out. When is your book coming out?
It's out right now.
It's out right now. Okay, great.
No, you can go to Amazon and it's there.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you so much, my dear, for a fabulous time this evening, and we will be in touch.
Great. Talk to you later.
All righty. Bye-bye. Uh-huh. Now, Tony, that was great information. That was
absolutely
great information. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure our listeners really need to hear that. Now, a lot of our listeners, I know they may be saying, well, I don't have any money to invest. Well, that's okay. That's one of the things that I want you all to learn as we go through this 12-week period and as we get to the end of it with the resources you're going to pick up. You need to learn how to start investing. You don't need a big, gigantic portfolio. You really don't. So, I mean, you can just have an average paycheck-to-paycheck income and still pay yourself first. Pay yourself first. And unfortunately, Dr. Judith didn't have a lot of time to talk about paying yourself first, but that's very, very important. So just keep that in mind. Now, we're going to move on to our next guest, who is not only a partner in my campaign, but she is a dear, dear friend, colleague, and just an all-around fabulous person. And she's a Zig Ziglar protege. What about that, Tony?
That's wonderful. Oh, I know how you feel about Zig Ziglar. That's what I was getting ready to say, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Her name is Michelle Prince, and she has a best-selling book entitled Winning in Life Now. Michelle, are you there?
I am. Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, sweetheart. How are you?
Great. Thank you. And hello, Tony, and thanks for having me.
Hi there. Good to have you on.
Thank you.
It is wonderful to have you on. I don't know how much you caught of our last guest.
I caught the tail end, and it was some good information.
Yeah. She is. She's in the financial industry, and she's been in the industry with finances for a long time. She's done a lot of work there, so she's going to help
awesome.
Our listeners to get their finances together. You know, we need that.
Oh, so important. I mean, it's right on up there with the most important things in life. I mean, you got to get all those things in order and make sure you're living a life so you're not stressed out about it.
That's right. Now, Michelle, let's talk about your first book was entitled Living in Life Now, and I have the book, and I've read it maybe 25, 30 times. No, I'm just kidding. It's a great resource. It is a great resource. I mean, I'm one of those kind of people, and Tony has seen a few of my books, and he's commented about this, but I'm one of those kind of people that I will turn the pages down.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony, you have commented, oh, my God, I can't believe you're destroying a good book. But
your books are definitely read, that's for sure.
Yes, they are. And I tell you, when I have a lot of pages turned down, that just means that's for me to go back and refer to it, and I may need that passage or that verse or that motivation for that day.
Mm-hmm.
And just about every page of your book is turned down on the top of the page. So I loved that book, Michelle. What inspired you to write it?
Wow. Well, it's kind of a long story that starts back to really when I worked for Zig years and years and years ago. And I left probably about 11 or 12 years ago. I left Ziglar to go do technology sales. I went in a totally different direction. I had a golden carrot dangled at me. And so I went in a direction of all the dot-com booms and software sales, and I had done that for so long. But even though I was successful, I just wasn't fulfilled. I just kept having this feeling that I'm supposed to be doing something else. This isn't as good as it gets for me. I just knew that God had a plan for me way bigger than I could even imagine at the time. So I was literally thinking these things through the years, feeling led to do something different, but not really sure what. And it was about 15 months ago, the light bulb just went off. And I knew for a while I needed to write a book, but I really didn't think I had anything to say. And then one day I was at a seminar, and that light bulb went off, and it's just like, wait a minute. For so long I kept saying, not me. Who do I think I am to say this? Or, gosh, I'm no Zig Ziglar or anything. And then I thought to myself, well, wait, why not me? I have a story to tell. I have my take on things. My life hasn't been all rosy. And I'm sure there's people out there that can relate to that. So I decided that very day to start writing on the book. I got on my laptop, and I literally just everything flew out of me. And I had the whole book done in 3 weeks, which was the content. It took me about 8 months to get it, 8 or 9 months to get it edited and published. But the main concepts, the chapters, the whole message of the book, though, just flew out. And it's funny, I would tell my husband, I'd finish writing a chapter, and he'd say, well, what's it about? And I literally couldn't even tell you. I mean, I knew the general, big picture, but I couldn't even remember what I wrote because it was just so divine, and it just came out so quickly that it was just so meant to be.
Wow. That is amazing. I can totally relate to that. There is a young lady in the chat room by the name of Daphne,
mm-hmm.
and she has a beautiful accent. I'm not sure where she's from, but I was on her show earlier today, and we talked about that exact thing, Michelle. We talked about living by design and how you go down a path and you're just not fulfilled and you're just not where you feel you need to be.
Exactly.
And I said that on her show because I was there. I was in corporate America for so long, and even though I had a very lucrative income, I just wasn't fulfilled on the inside. I just was not getting that sense of accomplishment, for lack of a better phrase. I just wasn't getting it. I mean, I would come home from work and feel empty.
Mm-hmm.
Every Sunday night, I would just feel down and blue and depressed, knowing that I had to go and do this for another 40 hours, another 40-hour work week, and I just wasn't feeling it. And I mean, the money held me there. I was a slave to income.
I know.
Held me there.
I was too, actually, and that Sunday night feeling, it's so funny you say that, because that's what I I was speaking today, and actually that came up, that dread that you start to feel around, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon when you start thinking about, oh, I've got to do this all over again starting tomorrow. And you know, I believe that, and I've said this before, is, you know, in your mess is your message. And I know that I needed to go through that time in my life to really be unhappy and to really feel like, gosh, this isn't what I want to do, you know, and especially having kids, you know, being in the office all day and just waking up at the crack of dawn, getting home so late, having so little time with my family.
Right.
But I kept going back to what you said is, you know, it was a paycheck. That's all it really was. But had I not gone through that, I don't really think that I would have had a whole lot more to say. You know, if life was great, I think I just needed that time in my life to, I won't say hit rock bottom, but to get pretty close to figure out a way to bring myself out of it. And then it was in you know, doing my own personal development and my own, you know, self-reflection that I learned a lot of things along the way, in addition to what I learned from Zig Ziglar. But those are the kind of things that I thought, you know what, I'm going to share this with other people because they're probably going through the same exact thing or at least something similar. And maybe they won't pick up a book by, you know, Zig Ziglar or Dennis Waitley or any of the other greats out there, and maybe they'll be more drawn to want to pick up a book from just somebody who's a normal person. I'm a mom,
right.
I'm a wife, a daughter, a sister. I'm just like you and anybody else listening. The only difference was is I just decided to take action and put all those thoughts into a book.
That's right. And, you know, you mentioned that you made the comment about Sunday night, or I started it, and then you when I think about how I used to feel on Sunday night, I would try to make myself feel better by coming up with all of these different things I was going to buy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to buy myself this. I'm going to buy myself that. I'm going to buy this, buy this, buy this, buy that. Cars and trinkets and stuff and jewelry and fur coats and blah, blah, blah. But it just did not fill the void. Everyone who out there is listening and you're thinking that money is going to fill the void, it does not. Does not. And right now what I'm doing, since I stepped out of corporate America, and everybody that keeps asking me the question, are you back to where you were when you were in corporate America financial-wise? My answer to that is, it's none of your business.
That's right, it's not.
None of your business. But anyway, now on Sunday night, oh, my God, I absolutely – is it bedtime yet? Let me hurry up and go to bed. I can't wait for Monday. I can't wait for the weekdays to get here so that I can work. I want to work. I want to work. I want to do my work.
Oh, I know.
It's an energized feeling.
It is. And I get that question a lot, too, with the whole finances. And frankly, people that – my dad always said to me, do what you love and the money will come.
Absolutely.
If we always went after things that brought us immediate, you know, gratification or instant results with money, I mean, we know there's a lot of those get-rich-quick schemes out there, then what's the point? I mean, the whole thing that I'm trying to do, and I know you're trying to do, Kathy, because you and I think so much alike, is we're out there to make a difference. And knowing
right.
that if we're doing what God put us here on earth to do, which is our passion, it's our purpose. It's my purpose. I know for a fact that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And in doing that, if in the lives that we're changing increases, you know, our income, all the better. But that's not the motivation of why either one of us got into it.
Right.
But I do believe in with all my heart that when you love what you do, you not only see the blessings in who you're helping, but you see them in your financial blessings as well.
And Michelle, you share my passion about the wonderful work that Mr. Zig Ziglar has done, and he
yes.
has said it so eloquently so many times in the past. It's more important that you be something than it is that you have something. Because once you become what you need to become and you put the action behind it, the have is a given.
That's right.
It's a given. You're going to have what you need to have. You're going to have exactly what God wants you to have.
Absolutely.
So don't worry about that. People that chase money and chase millions, and if you ask them, what is your goal? What is your objective? I want to be a millionaire. I mean, that's the first thing to come falling out of their mouths.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as an obstacle or a bump in the road comes, they get sidetracked, they go in a corner, and they sit down and they cry and they say, why me, why me? Because they haven't done what really needs to happen. Well, you need to stop waiting for change on the outside of you to occur and look for change on the inside, because your world on the outside is going to stay exactly where, the way it is until something happens on the inside.
Well, in another way, I try to look at this with money, because I like, or I run into a lot of people, I'm sure you do too, with coaching, that that's, you know, let's talk about your goals and your dreams. And it's usually monetarily focused. You know, I want a new car, I want this, or I want this trip. And while those things are important, it's not the only thing. And what I try to do is detach any meaning to money. Because at the end of the day, money is really just dirty pieces of paper that it's currency. I mean, it gets us what we need, but it's not... We don't have to put such an attachment to it. Don't get me wrong. It's important, and I think Zig says, you know, money is important. It's up there just, you know, as high as oxygen. It's always better to have it than not to have it.
But, right. It's easier to have it than not, right?
Exactly. But if you don't put such an attachment to it, then it seems, and then there's not that focus on it. And what I see a lot of people doing is they're focused on making money. And
right.
And like you said, they're not focused on making themselves better or other people
right.
better. They're focused on, you know, the end result. And, you know, what we do is a means to an end. But if you start with the end in mind, with the money part of it, then sometimes it distorts what it is you're doing and or who you're becoming. And you're right. Zig does say it. First you have to be before you can do, and you have to do before you can have. And then it's that being, you know, that real understanding who you are with or without money, you know.
Right.
And then do the work that's going to allow you to have the results that you want. But it
that's
doesn't right. start with having.
It really doesn't. And, you know, I went to the event yesterday, the Get Motivated event. Mr. Ziegler was
yes.
at the event. But one of the speakers talked about how, I don't know if you've ever been to a horse racetrack or if you've been a horse race, but sometimes horses... trainers will put those little blinkers or whatever they call them on the sides of the horse's eyes.
I'm hearing a bad connection. Do you hear that too? Oh, I think it just
yes.
There
yeah,
we go.
It just got better. Yeah.
Thanks. Okay. Yes, but the blinders on the side of the horse's eyes.
Yeah. One of the speakers talked about. I don't know if you've ever seen a horse race, but sometimes horses will race in a race. They'll have the blinkers on the sides of their eyes.
Mhm.
And I really like the way he talked about. The blinkers, and he used that analogy toward life, because the purpose of those blinkers is to block out all the distractions so that the horse can focus on the race.
Right.
Focus on running the race and winning the race, and that's what we need to do in life. And all these distractions, when we go out and we see the cars and we see the clothes and the possessions and the stuff,
mm-hmm.
We see all this stuff, and we're so distracted by that that we forget about our purpose and what we're supposed to be doing, why we were placed on this earth. We don't need to get distracted by all that stuff. Just keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on your purpose. Keep your eye on what you're supposed to be doing, and everything else will take care of itself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's amazing how things start to unfold and doors begin to open when you are really living in your purpose. And it's not an easy thing to come to. It's not something that, and I do a lot of workshops that help people to figure out what their purpose is. But for me, quite honestly, it took me, 11 years. Although I wasn't working on it, you know, wholeheartedly. But it does take a little time to figure it out. But once you do, everything seems to change, or at least that's been my experience. Things just begin to open up for you that you can't even imagine would open up.
Michelle, if I could just talk about that one thing alone. I know Tony was actually testifying about that last week on my radio show, talking about how in the short period of time all the things that he has seen happen for me, and it's just not about me.
No.
It's not about me. It's about where I am and how obedient I am being to following the path that was laid out for me. This was already placed in my life before I was even born.
Absolutely.
This was placed upon me before I was born. I am following my purpose. I am following the plan that was laid out for me. And when that happens, doors open, people show up, people come in your life, things start happening for you. Michelle, you showed up. We are so connected. We have a teleseminar scheduled And I want to talk about that a little bit before we run out of time, but Michelle and I have a teleseminar scheduled that's just really going to blow the socks off our listeners and everyone who attends. You all are going to absolutely love it.
I can't wait.
I can't wait. I'm so motivated and so inspired, and it's just amazing the things that we have talked about and how connected we are and how much we have in common. And those things happen when you're living your purpose. And all the things, and I was featured in a magazine I'm going to be featured in this magazine article for the month of October. And, I mean, these things are happening, and I'm saying, oh, okay, really?
Uh-huh.
And I'm just being obedient to where I'm supposed to be. This is how it's supposed to be, and this is where I'm supposed to be.
Absolutely.
And if I can interject a little bit, too, the one thing that most people don't really realize in the midst of it, you know, sometimes they say, well, if it was supposed to be for me, it should come easy. Well, that's not true. If it's supposed to be for you, sometimes it's going to come difficult. But the difficulty is the lesson to get you to where you're supposed to be. And you don't mind going through what it is you have to go through. The most wonderful thing about that situation is it seems like the difficulty energizes you to move forward. The difficulty makes it like that challenge that you must do. A lot of folks who are going towards something and they aren't aware that they're supposed to be going towards it, but it was meant for them. It's that, well, I don't care what I have to face. I don't care what I have to do. I just seem to be driven that way. And then things start being moved out of the way, then you know. But folks all the time will say, well, maybe this wasn't supposed to be for me because I'm running I'm having a hard time doing this or this. On the other side of that door, if you would have just been patient enough to reach and open up the knob and pull the door open at the right moment, because one of my mentors years ago said, Tony, it's about timing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the right time is not your time. You have to wait for that time to become your time. Okay. And the thing about it, as long as you're moving forward, as long as you're working towards it, it's going to be there for you. And that's what I've seen in Kathy's life. I know that's what I've seen in my life. And it's just so amazing. If people would just allow what has been designed for them to happen in their lives, it's amazing what goes on.
Oh, I totally, totally agree. And that goes, I mean, there's so many different stories around that whole idea. And I know we talk a lot about Zig, but one that he tells that I love is the pump handle where, you know, the well pump where you're pumping and pumping and pumping and you're, you know, busting your, you know, trying so hard to get that water to come up, and you're working and working and working, and nothing is happening. And most people, after a while, give up. Well, what they don't know is the way a water pump is you have to keep pumping and keep pumping really, 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 really hard until one time when the water comes out, then it's just an easy flow after that. You just pump every now and then. But if you give up right before the water comes out, then you have to start all over again.
Right.
And I think about that and how many times people give up right before. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, right? But if you give up, I mean, chances are good you are so, so, so close to making it to that next level, but you gave up right before you could see the glory of it.
Yeah, and you said we don't know what's going to happen, but one thing I guarantee you, when you give up, you know what's going to happen.
Absolutely. It's not going to be good.
Right.
Right.
Right. And Tony, I like what you said because you're so right. I don't want to give any of my listeners the wrong impression that, you know, as soon as you decide what it is that you want to do, everything is going to just fall in your path and fall. That's so not true. You have to be diligent. You have to be committed. You have to be determined. You have to really have that passion and that drive because obstacles will come.
Mm-hmm.
Obstacles will come. You will experience some setbacks, some rejections, some issues, some problems, a lot of things that you're not going to like. But if you're passionate about what you're doing and you know this is what I'm placed on this earth to do, there's no doubt about that, and you put the actions behind it, don't worry about the rest. The universe is listening. If you run into an obstacle, then there's a lesson in that obstacle that you need to learn. That's how you should look at it.
And the sooner you learn it, the sooner you move beyond it.
Exactly. Exactly. Instead of allowing it to keep you down in that pit, that dark dungeon pit, woe is me, why me, what's going on, why does this have to happen? Don't even ask yourself that blame why me game. Don't even waste your time with that.
Absolutely.
Just try to learn the lesson that was there for you and move beyond it, move past it, go straight through it, and keep on, put those blinkers on the sides of your eyes and keep on running the race.
I love it. We think a lot alike.
Yes. Yes. Keep right on going to the finish line. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And we are putting together a fabulous lineup of topics for you guys. So stay tuned for that, Matua. And we're going to also be posting it on our websites. And we have a Women Wisdom Wealth Workshop website. That's a tongue twister.
That is a tongue twister. We'll have to come up with a W4 or something like that.
Exactly. W to the fourth power.
There you go.
But we will have that information on both of our websites, so you'll be able to get all the agenda topics from there. And it's going to be a two-day teleseminar, so we are very, very, very excited to bring you that. And Michelle has a wealth of knowledge in so many different motivational areas as well.
My website, which is winninginlifenow.com, which is also the name of my book, winninginlifenow.com.
Winninginlifenow.com. Okay, so that's it. You can either contact Michelle directly or come through me, either way, and she'll be more than happy to come on your show. Anywhere all around the country that we can add our little piece of motivation, we are always anxious to do that, aren't we, Michelle?
Absolutely, because the more people that hear the message, the more lives that can be changed, the more, you know, we all deserve to live happier lives. And so if we can just help one another do that, and especially with the women and our workshop that we're putting together, it's just, you know, us women, we need to stick together and empower one another. Sorry, Tony, I don't mean to leave you out on that one, but we do need to empower one another and support one another and encourage one another, because we have so much potential that is just dying to come out in so many of us women. And
I believe me, I'm fine with it because I have three daughters, so that's fine with
awesome.
Me.
Awesome. I love it.
And it's true, because, I mean, women have so much responsibility on our shoulders because, you know, we're parents, and sometimes in many cases we're single parents, and you know, we have to be the nurturers, and we have to be the breadwinners, and we have to, you know, do it all. I mean, anymore, we have to do it all. And statistics are showing that there are more women entrepreneurs and women senior-level executives than there have ever been before, and they're getting ready to be even more. Research shows that within the next 5 to 10 years, it's getting ready to explode. So we really want to offer some resources to help all of the young women that are coming out of college and the young little budding entrepreneurs that are out there waiting to come on board. We want to help you with our years of wisdom and our years of knowledge and education to put you on the right track.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So keep in touch and stay tuned for that, and keep up with both of our websites, because we will be offering all the information and details associated with that teleseminar that's going to be coming up. And it is going to be for every single thing that we discussed, all of the budding entrepreneurs and women executives and whatever you strive to be, whatever it is that you strive to be in your career, we are going to have something for you in that teleseminar. And believe it or not, we are coming up on our last 60 seconds.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Of course it does. Of course it does. But, Michelle, thank you so much. You have been a fabulous guest. I knew you would be.
Oh, Kathy, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me, and I'm looking forward to our workshop coming up and all the other wonderful projects we're going to work on together. And so thank you for including me.
Absolutely. So thank you, dear. And we are going to sign off for now, and we are going to see you next week, part 4 in our 12-week series. I'm Kathy Holloway-Hill.
I'm Tony DeMont.
Good night, everyone.